Good morning.
Do y'all know who that minister was? That was the Mile High Church in Denver. Yeah, I recognize him. But I'm Eddie Watkins has been here. Woo, baby. Well, I'm not channeling Roger. I'm going to be talking about something else. That was the minister. But I want to take a moment to thank a few people. First of all, my good friend here, Sharon. Yeah, a great minister, a beautiful heart. You're lucky to have her, and I'm lucky to have her in my life. Thank you. Yeah. And will the board of directors please stand up? Now, these people have a big job, so y'all ought to be thanking them. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I don't know if you saw Mari in the back. Anyway, and we have former board members here, too. And they were here yesterday. So everyone who was here yesterday for our extravaganza, will you stand up so we can thank you because, yay, come on, y'all. Thank you. Because we got into some good stuff on your behalf. So stand by because there's going to be some really exciting things coming your way. Thank you, Lewis, for the sound. Thank you, Vernetta, for your technology that helped get that thing going on. So listen, have any of you read a book called Untethered Soul? Well, the author of that, Michael Singer, who lives in Gainesville, Florida, and established the Universal Life Center, something like that. Anyway, it's a meditation center. Beautiful book. He said this in the book. He said, you have to realize that your job in life is not about your career. It's not about who you marry or divorced. It's not about whether or not you seek God. How curious, don't you think? What do you think it's about? You know, this will wake him up, if anything, will or never. What do you think, y'all? Come on. What do you think your purpose in life is? If it's not about your career, it's not even about whether or not you seek God. Isn't that preposterous?
Well, I don't know. My job in life has been to use the music and praise God.
Me too. So we have to realize that there's only one choice we need to make. One choice. And it's not about our career. It's not about who we're married to. It's not about whether or not we want to seek God.
It's about yourself.
Say it again.
It's about yourself.
Well, yes, it is in a way. And you get a lollipop because you dared to give me an answer.
There's a book called The Purpose-Driven Life.
Yes.
Where most of us ask, what's my purpose?
Yes. Yes, but that's not what I was thinking of.
I don't agree with that either. I just didn't think of
it. What was that, Kath?
To love.
Well, that's a good answer, but that's not it. What is it, Priscilla? Yes, that's a perfect answer, and I want everyone to ask Priscilla about standards of integrity after service, okay? Down to fellowship. But that's not it. It's about the choice is, do I want to be happy or not? Whoops. The choice is any moment and every moment we have that choice. Do I want to be happy? Is what I'm about to say going to make me happy? Is what I'm about to do going to make me happy? Is the choice I'm about to make going to make me happy or not? Take your pick. True, isn't it? So, I have three intentions for the next few minutes, and that is to inspire that extraordinary decision on your part. And the decision is?
To be happy.
To be happy or not. And to touch your heart with possibilities if you do. And finally, to offer three simple but not easy practices to make it so. Are you ready?
Yes.
So, on the playing field of life and your meter, happy meter, one being, I'm not very happy today, and 10 being, I'm blissful today. I'm really happy. Where are you on the happy meter?
Right now.
All right, Karen.
That's
right. Do I get a lot of money? Yes, 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 absolutely. Well, just pause for a moment and see. I mean, if we could actually measure our happiness energy, where would yours be? And if it's not at a 10, what would it take today to get it to a 10? What if we made it our purpose in life to moment to moment, consider what would it take to get me to pure happiness? Does it depend on what's going on out there?
No.
Does it depend on what's going on out there?
No.
Some of you weren't so sure. But it doesn't. So here's what Michael Singer said. It's not about anything but that one choice, happy or not. And you know, everything that Jesus taught, everything, all spiritual titans in the world have pointed to the same thing in what they say. Do you want to be happy or not? If you want to be happy, do this. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, he devoted a lot of time and energy to what will it take to make you happy? The Sermon on the Mount. But I'm going to take a piece from the Sermon on the Mount today for us to look at. And as he's going through to Jerusalem, he came out of Judea and Galilee, and then he went to Jerusalem. And here's what it says. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate Pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel comes down at a certain time into the pool and stirs the water, and then whoever steps into it first and afterward is healed. They are made well of whatever disease they had. Now there was a certain man who had been sitting in the portico with an infirmity for 38 years. Long time. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there in that condition a long time, he said to the man, "Do you want to be made well? You want to be happy or not?" And the man said, the man made excuses. He said, well, I mean, really, everyone gets in my way. I'm just about to go into the waters, and doggone it, doesn't someone block me? And the timing is never right. The waters are never stirred up when I'm ready to get in them anyway. Did you ever do that about your good? I'd be happy if only he'd change. I'd be happy if only things out there were different. Or I'd be happy if, rather than I'm happy because. So you know, Jesus did not listen to the excuses, did he? He didn't engage them at all, which is a really strong clue for us. He did not engage them. He didn't say, oh goodness, well, where did that come from? Why are you feeling like that? Tell me all about it. No. So let's take a look at the metaphysics of it. Jerusalem represents a mind focused on peace and spiritual principle. So in order to be happy, what do we focus on? Peace and spiritual principle, a truth that we know. Bethesda represents a willingness to be purified and bathe our consciousness in the truth. That is, I'm not going to engage all the reasons why not, all my fears and worries. I'm not going to engage them. I may have them, but they're going to stay on the back burner, resting, taking a nap, something. And Sheepsgate represents our doorway of choice. To realize that we always have a choice. I don't know about you, but some years ago before ministry, when I heard that, I go, really? You mean even though he's acting that way, I don't have to be the way I'm being? That's right. We always have a choice, no matter what the conditions look like. Simple but not
easy.
That's right. The pool represents life-giving healing thoughts. And so we bathe our consciousness in this pool of healing thoughts. The portico represents our five senses or the appearances out here. And so the gentleman in question here in scripture was an impossibility thinker rather than a possibility thinker. And Jesus Christ, our way shower, calls us to be a what? A possibility thinker. So I still have her, a friend who was born and raised in Detroit and started working in the factory in the automotive industry in the line, the production line. And she told me this story about how she always talked about how she hated her job. She hated going there in the morning. She would complain to whoever would listen to her. She was miserable. And needless to say, she hated her life because she hated her job and she had to go there every day. Did she think she had a choice? Apparently not. Apparently not. Or how about this gentleman? I just read about him. His name is Tim Medvetz. He used to ride with the Hells Angels. You've all heard of the Hells Angels, right? A very adventuresome life. And while he was on his motorcycle racing around the San Fernando Valley, he was hit by a truck. And not expected to live, needless to say. He had 8 surgeries trying to save one of his feet. He had a shattered back, and so to save him, they put a titanium cage around him, his midsection. Surgery after surgery. And so when he got out of the hospital, he was in a one-room apartment self-destructing. I mean, those were serious conditions, right? Like the man in the portico thought he had 38 years. Man, I have a serious condition here. And he couldn't get beyond the condition. I shouldn't say couldn't. He wasn't getting beyond the condition. Oh, I didn't tell you about this. What does that say?
Four P's.
So we're talking about the four P's this morning. How many?
Four.
And the first one is principle. And the second one is pitfall. And the third one is promise, and the fourth one is practice. So the principle is this. It's the third law of spiritual dynamics, or in unity terms, one of our basic principles, the third basic principle. I like to think of it as spiritual dynamics because it creates. Our thoughts are creative. So the law is, say it with me, thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. You all knew that, right? But are we always aware of it? No. The key is to remember, thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. So what I'm going to think about now, I'm not responsible for the thoughts that just pop into my mind. I'm responsible for whether I keep them or not. Like Jesus at the well at Bethesda with the man, he did not engage the excuses the man was making. We get thoughts that aren't going to take us where we really want to go, but we don't have to engage them, because if we do, it's like one thought produces another just like it. And then we're on a train going to no man's land. So the pitfall is what we just read about in Scripture, the man who had been ill. He had a condition. We all have a condition of something or another, right? And Jesus said, do you want to be healed? He was at, as we all come, every moment, to that border where we can either listen to all the negative chatter or not. The pitfall about it is, the principle is thoughts held in mind produce. The pitfall is the human condition is that we tend to judge by appearances. It's the kind of the automatic response from our early humanity when we were in a flight or fight condition. But we're not there anymore. We're evolved spiritual beings. So Jesus said, how many of you know what Jesus said about appearances? He said, don't judge by appearances. Don't choose based on what's going on out here. Come in here, where there is a power greater than all of that, and choose from that, and choose from that. There was a woman in San Francisco when I was up there. I was at a conference, and there was a piece of cancer survivors. And there was a woman among the women on the panel who said something that I wrote down and I've never forgotten. And I try to remember it, and I invite you to try to remember it. It's simple, but not
easy.
It's simple, but it's not easy. She said, I only do what is irresistible. Can you imagine that? We either got to make it irresistible or it's got to be naturally irresistible. But it's more like find the good in it. Find the good in it. Yesterday we talked about, if you remember, we talked about being a demand for coaching, being so open and receptive like this man in the portico was not. He was not open and receptive to being healed. He was more interested in making excuses. But to be so open and receptive to our lives and what's going on, that we're looking for, how can this help me? How is this for me rather than against me? It's simple but not easy. So let me tell you the good news about about my friend and Tim Medved. So Argentina had a moment of clarity, and she had a spiritual teacher. And the teacher said to her, because Argentina was complaining all the time about her job, the teacher finally said, listen, try this. Try going in there every day and giving your best no matter what. Doesn't matter how you feel. We have feelings, but we are not our feelings. So just go there and give your best each day and see what happens. See how you can be a contribution each day. The good news is that Argentina gave that a shot. And in 1 year, she was voted the employee of the year. See, she had a dream, but she wasn't entertaining it. She wasn't following it. She wasn't taking any steps in that direction. When she finally was open enough to hear her teacher say, give your best anyway. Give your best to the relationship, the job, whatever you're doing. Give your best to it and see what happens. She finally got to move on to manifest her dream. Tim Medvitz, after 1 year of self-destructing in the apartment all by himself, feeling sorry for himself, like it's so easy to do, why me? He had that moment of clarity to a shift, a quantum shift. And he, you know, have you ever had a book fall off your shelf? Yes. Or off the library or off, you know, off a bookstore shelf? So he had a book for 4 years that had been sitting on his shelf. It fell off the shelf into his arm. And it was about climbing Mount Everest, a man who had scaled the summit of Mount Everest. 29,000 feet, y'all. Imagine that, climbing it. Never mind passing over it in an airplane. So he got on a plane and was in Nepal. And for 4 years, prepared himself to climb Mount Everest. Climbing, living with the Sherpas and climbing smaller and then bigger and then bigger. He was in a fitness class. I mean, he was just doing whatever it took. And so he did manage to climb Mount Everest. Not once, but twice. And the second time he said to himself, or the Christ in him said to him, you know, if you can do this, imagine who you might help. What veterans, what wounded veterans you might help. He came home, got funding, started the Heroes Project, and has taken vets, our wounded warriors, up the mountains, Kilimanjaro and others. So you see, there's always a way. Give our best, be a contribution like that. The promise. Here's the promise. Say it with me. Jesus said, you say 4 months till harvest. I tell you, lift up your eyes and see. Fields are ripe for harvest. What does that mean to us? It means right where you and I are today. There's the fields of our lives are ripe for happy. There are ways to look at whatever we're doing today and be happy about it. To be a, what if we went out of here saying, I'm just gonna be a, who can I be a contribution to today by being my best self? Happy is generated from in here. It's an outlook from the inside. The way we choose to see things. So right where we are, any day, the fields are ripe for happy, and we get to choose. Here's the practice. What does FAA stand for? They're murmuring in the back, Sharon. FAA stands for, I mean, what do you know FAA to stand for? Federal Aviation Administration. Federal Aviation. I did that because I thought, oh, sure, everybody knows what FAA stands for this will help them to remember what the practices are that I'm about to say. So FAA, it stands for focus. So the practice is focused. We can turn our focus to the condition and make our choices, or we can turn our focus in here to the Christ and find something for us. Make a new choice. We focus on the good we seek. We focus on a spiritual principle. We focus on a dream. I mean, that would be far more interesting than focusing on a problem, wouldn't it? Focus on a heart's desire. What makes me happy? The A stands for action. Remember, James said, faith without works is? These two people knew that. Faith without works is dead. In other words, we can have all the faith and speak all the faith we want, but unless we're acting from that faith, we're not growing. We're not making the contribution that we have come here to make. We've all come here to create heaven on earth. First in here, and then in the paths in the world in which we walk. We're here to be a contribution, to help to find our own light and then help others find the light in them. That's why we're here. So action. There was have any of you heard of the Happiness Project done at Harvard? Try looking up Sean Acker on YouTube. Sean, S-H-A-W-N, Acker, A-C-H-O-R, on YouTube. He was a part of that Happiness Project, the Science of Happiness. And one of the things that he said in that YouTube that really stuck with me, and we all know this, it is that positive thoughts produce dopamine. And dopamine is the happy hormone. So all the positive thoughts we can generate literally transform, shape-shift our consciousness. We can, no matter what's happened to us, just like Tim Medvitz, no matter what happened to him, he was able to shape-shift his consciousness so that he could get to the top of Mount Everest. You and I can do that. Positive thoughts can begin to shape-shift, erase the negative if we don't give any energy to them, the negative. And so dopamine is our happy hormone, and it also opens all of the portals of creative thinking. So it's a good idea to focus on that. And he said one of the things that was a part of that Happiness Project was people prayed and meditated. What a surprise. So I don't know what your spiritual practice is, but I highly recommend, for a happier life, make prayer and meditation a part of your daily practice. Researchers have found that just 10 minutes a day of meditation shapeshifts the consciousness. Happy. The final A is appreciate. There are three dimensions of gratitude. I talk about that in the book, by the way. Three dimensions of gratitude. We teach it in unity. The first one is give thanks for what is. You know, count our blessings every day. It's a good idea to make a written gratitude list. If you're not doing it, I dare you to do it. I double dare you to do it. Make a gratitude list every day. Just count your blessings, the ones that come to you. Give thanks for what is. Give thanks for the miracle in the mess. Give thanks for the miracle in the mess. That is, look for the good. It's in there somewhere. What is this? What's for me in this? Not what's against me. What's for me? And then finally, give thanks in advance for what you want. Not like, oh, I see this is missing. But, oh, I know this is in the grid of divine abundance, and I'm calling it forth right now because I'm thanking it right now. Right now. How fun, huh? So, you know, I've taken to writing spiritual raps. Here's one. In the middle of the night when the moon is bright and you're resting into slumber, you hear a whisper that gives you a start because it sounds more like thunder. Follow me, says the voice, and you feel some dread, but instead of no, you say yes. Start with the dream. Start with your heart, not your head. Start close in, says the voice. Follow me. Follow me because the dream you have was given to you by the giver of dreams, and he'll see you through. And that's it. Thanks. So it's time for a meditation. So we'll take these thoughts into our hearts and close your eyes and relax. Relax into the stillness within you, the Pool of Bethesda. And we step into the healing waters of spirit. Take another deep breath from head to toe as we have this time of holy communion with God, the God who loves you just as you are and more than you can imagine. The God who knows you better than you know yourself, and whoever seeks to reveal your true greatness and the immense power at your command. So follow my words now into the arms of the indwelling presence of love, life, wisdom, joy. Unlock the door of my heart today, Lord, and let your radiance bring me home to love and trust. Unlock the door of my mind, Lord, to find that your thoughts are mine and that I am sheltered in your presence. Unlock the door of my soul today, Lord, and bring me home to my true proportions and yours. Let me look on your face and be wrapped in your grace so that I unwrap the gifts of your image as me and bring them to my world. Set my heart on fire with divine ideas, Lord, that inspire me to birth a new reality in my life in ways that bless all my endeavors. Let me dance with joy, the joy of living, so that at the end of the day, there's a smile in my heart and the sweet taste of heaven in my mind and the golden peace in my soul. Unlock my life today, Lord, that I may run through fields of joy and laughter, being a contribution to the world, being who I came here to be, and being who you would have me be. Set me free, Lord, to walk toward the dreams that you have placed in my heart. Let me rest in knowing that your wisdom is unfailingly guiding me to their fulfillment. Take a deep breath now, and let's each, with a few moments of silence, acknowledge the dreams of our hearts, the heart's desires that live within us. Acknowledge the things that bring you joy and happiness, that bring you alive now in the stillness. Let your heart feel light. Let there be a smile there. Let there be a welcome. Take a deep breath, and we thank you, Father, Mother, God, that you go before each of us this day, making straight our way into the wonders and miracles that you have already prepared. We give thanks for your blessings and for those wonders and miracles manifesting in each of our lives. And so it is, and so we are, and we all say, Amen.